Okay, we do have a quorum at this time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sherry. And at this point, I would like to welcome everybody here and call the meeting to order. Sherry, if you would please, please call roll.
Tudor Road, if you'd like to start off, please.
David Reed.
Nick Fanisak.
Scott Stormo.
Bruce Richter with CISA.
Steve Noel with CISA.
And Paul Fuzzy.
Okay, on the telephone, myself, Jerry Schaefer, Master Sergeant Simon Ryder, Fire Marshal Kyle Green, Mr. Pete Rogel, Mr. Jim Goodman, Mr. Jeremiah LaForest, Mr. John Rockwell, Ms. Tammy Gogia Cockrell, Mr. Chris Martin, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. David Brown, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Mr. Tim Tomitz, A1C Caitlin DeHard, Mr. Carl Edwards, Mr. Rob Reddington, Mr. Michael Bath, Mr. Bobby Carter, Ms. Naomi Ulrich, Mr. Zach Haas, Mr. Mickey Flores. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I have not called? Okay, hearing no response, that does conclude roll call.
Thank you very much. Do we have any new guests or new members that would like to announce themselves at this time? We can move on now to the review and approval of the May meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review those meeting minutes. Are there any updates or questions at this time? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve the May meeting minutes. And Sherry, I can make a motion. So at this point, I just need a second.
This is Henry Cole. I'll second.
Thank you very much, sir. Any updates or questions while it's still on the floor? Hearing none, the May meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to the next agenda item is a review and of the issues and risk log. Sherry, are there any updates to the issues and or risk log at this time?
I did add a note to the UC 87 on the primary SOA, all other positions vacant. It's been empty for a year now, so that's probably something that the council needs to address, whether they want to leave that position in DOF or find another state agency. And we have two highlighted under the active operational issues that were added from the last meeting.
And they're both under Mr. Stormo. Mr. Stormo, do you have any updates to the power line that failed at Henry Range or Saddle Mountain?
Henry, we don't know what parts are wrong with it. There was a lot of snow movement on the mountain when it went out, so there's probably, the line is probably broke somewhere. Snow hasn't completely melted yet. When that's gone, we will hopefully use the state electrical track to make repairs to that. The Saddle Mountain power line, we have, that was the one that was going to take 176 weeks to order the parts. We got lucky just to one of our many partnerships we have with people. We work with Chugach Electric at some of the sites, and we asked them if there was any chance they had a transformer that would work. Turns out it's a very old transformer and they had no use for it. So they had one on the shelf that they haven't needed in about 12 years. So they were able to give it to us and we have shipped it down to Juneau. And we have issued a purchase order to the electric companies down there, or one of the electric workers, linemen companies down there, and they're going to install that transformer hopefully here in the next week or two. And that is what they said the problem was, but so hopefully that is that will fix the power line down there. We're still running on generator, and thankfully nothing. The generator has not failed us because it's a short-run generator. It's been running nonstop ever since. So anywhere, just to refresh, we're getting power from somebody else up at the top of the mountain. We had an old relationship with them. We kind of had shared power between our power lines at one time. So luckily, we were able to just cut over to their commercial power and keep that site running. So other than that, unless there's any questions, I think that covers those two power lines.
Any question for Mr. Stormo regarding the two power lines? Scott, thank you so very much for that update. Look forward to hearing next month where maybe one or both are totally resolved. And then Sherry, regarding the first issue you brought up, is it something that we should move under existing business or new business, or where would that fall?
I just wanted to bring it up. So it's not something that has to be addressed at this meeting, but it is something that does need to be resolved.
So Mr. Stormo, Nate Skinner works for you. Could you ask him to put some thoughts to it since he was previous working with DNR, if there is another person, or if he would make a recommendation and have that maybe by the next meeting?
I can do that.
Very
somebody
good. Thank you, Scott.
Hand up, John. I'm not sure who it is.
Good afternoon, Mr. Rumpa. This is Kyle Green here in Northern Region.
Yep.
I didn't mean to cut off the conversation early about the Mr. Skinner's old position. I was going to check in on the Birch Hill situation. If there was an update, I can wait for that if it's going to come up under DOD's updates.
Probably will come up under DOD's update. If not, please ask at that time.
Okay. We also had another outage that occurred on May 16th. I believe it was brief, but we lost, it seems, the same site on May 16th. Would that be brought up here, or should we address that at a different part of the meeting?
Again, updates for, is that also Birch Hill?
Yeah, but it'd be a separate incident. Or not.
Yeah, I think that would be brought up during the DOD updates.
Okay, I'll hold my comments and questions until then.
Thanks, Kyle. All right, moving to the next item on the list, the review of the issues and risk log. Sherry, are there any updates to the issues and risk log?
We had one item that was a carryover. And that was the request on the Genesis program reports. And as you'll see, the update was that the software couldn't support the request. So that was taken back to Genesis to see if they could develop an algorithm. That item is now closed. And the second one was Scott requested the two new items to be added to the issues and risk log, and that was completed. And that item is also closed.
Very good. So we can move on to the Operations Management Office overview, and I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Paul Fussy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. So Mr. Nelson came up earlier this week, so we talked about the videos that are going out and the different training that we're setting up. So the new videos that are on the training webpage on LMR is LMR funding, talking about how LMR is funded, trunking basics. So we've had a lot of questions in the past on trunking works and setting up your different channels. We also have using interoperability zones as a newer video that's out. And I would recommend people, if they have time, to look at the video called Items to Consider When Purchasing Radios, just as a refresher.
So we've had a lot of entities that are purchasing radios and asking what they need on the radio, like P25, TDMA. We're explaining to them that make sure the radio is TDMA capable, but also if it's a TDMA capable radio, make sure it comes with TDMA. That way, you don't have to go back and do a flash upgrade on it. And one thing, make sure it's compatible with the system. So those are some of the videos on there. We're going looking at, in the next month or so, putting out another town hall video. We're in the works on that one for right now. Sherry, as a side note, Mr. Woodall just walked in, so he's not here at the meeting.
Thank you.
Are there any questions on the training videos that are on the site? Hearing none, I'll move forward. So moving on to outreach, been very busy as usual with the outreach and talking to other entities. May 4th, I did a presentation at the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. May 18th, did an Alaska Association Chiefs of Police meeting. Always continuing to reach out to different agencies by phone and checking on them, see if they have any concerns. And then recently we did have conversations with the fire department down in Seward and Cooper Landing area regarding radio transmission and tower work. Any questions on outreach? Moving on, for the May documents review, we did not have any for the month of May, so we're working on June for right now. I will pull up the metrics. So, Mr. Chair, can you see the metrics okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. So as we look at our monthly group and individual calls, we're down just a little bit. The calls are 1.6 million, which is a little bit lower than last year, but still very robust. The monthly push-to-talks, 2.7 million. Once again, just a little bit lower than last year. However, extremely busy with the system. Now, if you look at our busies, we had 1,183. Now, we'll get into the next slide here, but there is that spike in there. But I want everyone on the line and in the room to realize, too, that Motorola is doing upgrades. PMIs are in full swing. So Nick and his team and the state tech are out and about doing a lot of work on the towers. So because of that, we are getting more busies right now because of it. And then we start looking at the sites below nine, which also incorporated into the busies. There is a larger one, but like I just stated, we're doing a lot of PMIs and a lot of upgrade work on the system with Motorola. And it's kind of a busy slide, so I'll leave this up here for a little bit. And I'll leave it up here so everybody can take a look at it. But as you can see, we have a lot of PMIs going on, replacing braces and brackets, doing antennas, doing router upgrades, installing Juniper routers. And then currently right now, actually, the Motorola team is here at the master site working on upgrades to the system in anticipation of TDMA. So what I will do, are there any questions on this slide? I know it's kind of busy, but for the group, are there any questions?
Paul, Mr. Green brought up the outage at Birch Hill. You have a PMI with the below nine or below three nines. Do you have the date for that?
He had mentioned May 16th. I'm looking around the room here at Nick to see if he knows what particular happened. Mr. Green, that was May 16th, correct? Did I write that date down right?
That's correct. I'm looking at my calendar here, just double checking. Yes, that's correct.
And what happened on that day?
It was approximately, let's see here. Let me look at this. It was at about 12:45 to, I think, 1:15 We went into site trunk mode, and I contacted the ALMR help desk, and when I called them, I was the one that alerted them to the outage. They were rather surprised. Didn't hear back about what the issue might have been. We were slated for some weather, some wind weather, but that wasn't occurring at that time, and that wind weather didn't come till later. So just curious if we have any idea of what that was and if it has any relationship to the last outage we had last year.
The PMI was done on the 10th, Mr. Green, so I will have to get back with you because I do not have that answer right now, and I apologize.
No problem. I understand there were somebody's technicians were in the area working on the different sites, but nobody was at the Birch Hill site at that time, and I'm not sure how it restored service. It was down for maybe, I want to say 15, 20 minutes. But it caught all of us off guard because we weren't aware of any planned outage. So just want to check in on that and as well what the status is for the maintenance for the Birch Hill site that we'll hear from DOD later. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Kyle.
Okay.
Mr. Puthie, are you finished with your presentation?
Not yet, Mr. Chair. I was just being asked a question on there.
Oh, okay, thank you. I apologize for interrupting.
No, not at all, sir. Okay, so Mr. Chair, moving on to other action items. As I mentioned previously, Motorola is here at the master site working on the upgrade, and they're going to have teams around the state all this summer putting in towers, not towers, but antennas and doing upgrades. So we do tomorrow, June 8th, is the FEMA Region 10 Requip meeting. That's going to be downtown. So Mr. Richter and Mr. Noel aren't here at the meeting, just listening in, but they'll have their meeting tomorrow. Black Rapids Tower was swaying a little bit. There was a couple loose bolts, but that has been remedied now. And just make a little plug, I guess, if you will. In the paper and on the news recently, there's been quite a bit of talk about four nationals in Alaska. So as it goes forward through the summer, just be observant and keep an eye on anything that might be happening in the towers and stuff like that. So that's all I have, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Are there any questions for Mr. Fussy? Hearing none, we can move into the system management office overview, and I turn the mic over to Mr. Nick Foundstock. Nick?
Thank you, John. Not a whole lot of update. Paul pretty much covered most of it. PMIs are in full swing. Guys are out right now as we speak. We got, I'm going to say, Hope, Cooper Mountain, and Silvertip the beginning of next week. We may hit up Sildovia as well, give or take weather and all the other conditions that are going on. But besides that, I've got nothing else to add.
Any questions for Nick? One question I had, Nick, when Paul was talking about I want to buy radios, who would be the best person for them to call? Would it be the ALMR help desk so you can get them in touch with the right person? I know that for any state of Alaska entity, they should be contacting the APSCS group and Mr. Stormo. But if I'm not necessarily I'm not a state of Alaska entity, and I'm getting ready to purchase some radios or equipment that I'm connecting What would you recommend?
I would definitely recommend calling the help desk here. You know, at a bare minimum, we can definitely get you at least pointed in the right way, and you know, let you know about some of the features that are mandatory, optional, suggested, recommended type of things, you know, in feature sets.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that advice, sir. At this time, we can move on to the State of Alaska and the Department of Defense overviews, and I turn it over first to Mr. Scott Stormo. Scott?
Just to add a little bit more to that part, too, I'd say most any of the vendors that are selling radios in Alaska should have a relationship with ALMR Help Desk as well. So if anybody is trying to buy radios and they want to make sure their vendors are bouncing their quotes or proposal through, we're coordinating over here. I'd have them call the help desk just to make sure they are selling you everything that they should be. And once again, we are kind of in summer in Alaska, so we are all over the place trying to hit all the sites, trying to do the preventive maintenance and the few months of reasonable weather we have to try to get to it. So I thank you for patience, as there will be multiple notices and outages from the help desk for things that are being done over the summer, not only due to the Motorola upgrade projects, but to everything that happens with all the other equipment, the microwave, the routers, battery plants being changed. There's power stuff being changed at the sites, and there's a lot of different efforts going on, and they don't all happen at the same time, so it generates short times of outages that are kind of done as far as they can be planned, but it is often, you know, when somebody makes it to the site, so not always able to give a lot of notice, and I appreciate the accommodating, you know, for those types of events, because they've got to happen and we don't have very many months to do it. So one semi-significant event to just talk about, but not to get too excited about, is Smart Connect has been being installed this week, and we've seen it working. We don't have FedRAMP approval, so it basically just got unplugged right after we were done proving that it was working. So once FedRAMP is approved, we'll hopefully be able to start using Smart Connect and Apex Next type radios to, you know, expand coverage into LTE type areas where we don't have ALMR coverage, and that can include, you know, some in-building places where maybe you got good cell coverage but you don't have good radio coverage, or more parts of rural Alaska where we don't have radio coverage that there might be FirstNet or somebody else out there. So it appears to work fine. There, you know, the people that were putting it in have done four or five of these projects in the last few months, and they said that everybody seems to be pretty happy with the product, and it seems something to be excited about. But again, we are awaiting FedRAMP approval, and we are really not able to get any information on whether that's happening anytime soon or not. It seemed like all the hard parts were done, but the final approval has not come yet. So unless there's any questions, I don't have anything else to add.
Thank you, Mr. Stormo. Are there any questions for Scott? Scott, you did bring up the FedRAMP approval process. Do we have any updates as far as where we are in that process?
Waiting.
Waiting?
So waiting part. Yeah, I think it's been through all the technical evaluation and recommendation part. It seems that it's at, you know, the high level people approving and signing off on it part. I don't really know the FedRAMP process, but I think that's where it's at. And I think our feeling was the technical part of it was the hard, complicated part. I thought they got through all those wickets. I don't know why it hasn't been signed off yet by the higher level people. And when we've asked, we've kind of, I think we aren't the right people to ask, and it seems like it's a little inappropriate to be pushing the other agency who's doing it, since we don't really have anything to do with them. So I think we're kind of stuck in the waiting part of the process.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the update. Also, just to clarify, you know, you mentioned that it could be, like, for example, in-building coverage. I know that there's an issue up in Fairbanks with the court building, and I was asked to look into it. One of the questions that I asked is everybody on a certain, you know, whether it's FirstNet or GCI or what have you? This Smart Connect, is it limited to a certain vendor or network?
You can either use a FirstNet SIM or a Verizon SIM in it. I think those are the only two that I'm aware of that are certified on it right now. And, you know, this is just my opinion on it, but I think it is the best use case for it is not necessarily that in-building coverage unless you are, you know, a small group of people that are in that building. And I'll use this as an example. A trooper post that maybe like in a Nana that doesn't have portable coverage inside the building. They could use Smart Connect so their portables work inside the building. But in a more populated area where, say, you wanted maybe needed a big response at a mall or something like that, you know, if you pick the local fire department to have it, well, then if anyone else showed up or if police showed up, none of them would have the equipment, wouldn't be able to do them any good, and it wouldn't work in a bigger response like that. So I think if it's a smaller scenario, like this is my office building, they work it all the time, it doesn't work. Maybe I'm a fire chief or a police chief and it doesn't work at my house. And maybe this, you know, I have AT&T coverage at my house, and maybe that radio would solve that problem for them. Or you go out to a place like rural Alaska where there is no ALMR and there is FirstNet, you know, those radios could potentially work for those people out there to have them tied back into, you know, dispatch services.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Scott.
The ideal situation in a place where you could have multiple people showing up needing to use it is improved ALMR coverage. Then it just works for anyone with an ALMR radio. So.
I appreciate that, Scott. Thank you very much. Any other questions for Scott? Hearing none, we can move to DOD. I turn it over to you, Mr. Woodall.
Yeah, and thank you to Mass Sergeant Ryder for taking care of the antenna issue. Much appreciated. The state has submitted through APCO their licensing for TDMA operation, and DOD is likewise doing its mobile pairs. The state manages the fixed infrastructure side of the house with FCC licenses, and we manage the mobile side of the house through the NTIA in a unique sharing agreement between the NTIA and the FCC. So that's going forward, and I suspect within 90, we'll be conservative here, in 120 days that we should be able to would have the licenses indicating the ability to operate on TDMA. As was alluded to by Mr. Fussy, is that there is some at the unclassified level some foreign characters, foreign actors, that are targeting systems, and we've alerted Mr. Reed, and he has taken steps both on the classified and unclassified side to secure our system, look at our system from a cyber protection perspective. So we'll keep monitoring that as we go along, and. We have asked Motorola, both Scott and I have asked Motorola to put together for us a lifecycle management plan in terms of a cost breakdown structure so that we can appropriately forecast and budget for cost. And I met with the federal side of the house, and we discussed that a little bit more in detail. Hopefully we'll see that fairly quick, as we need to begin the process of seeking funding for the next upgrade that is right around the corner. So those agencies out there, I will be getting information to you on system costs, hopefully by the end of June. That's kind of the time frame I laid out there, that we'd be able to start the process of having the agencies seek funding that would be required in the 26, 27, 28 years, 29, actually for the next 5 to 10 years is what we're hoping to do to get out in front of the game. And as soon as we get that information, we'll get it out to you. That's all I've got for now, unless anyone has any questions.
We open up the floor for questions for Mr. Woodall. And thank you, Tim.
Hey, I don't have a question, but I have a quick update in regards to what someone mentioned earlier for the May 16th outage on Birch Hill. That actually coincides with the power issue we're still having up there. We had new batteries put into the ups and things, but until we can get the MC rectifier stuff squared away, we have to bring a contractor up in the lower 48. Cost about $5,000 just to use their proprietary software to reprogram the thing. So that way we'll have both ups up and running once I can get that person up here to get that battery bank system operational. And then after that, it'll be a non-issue. It'll kill two birds with one stone. It identified why the system was down. And then it also will rectify that battery bank issue, if I'm making sense here. And then as far as the tower down at Black Rapids, yeah, we threw a quick fix on it. I'm actually going back down there Tuesday next week to take a look at it again. And then we have to figure out who actually owns the system. I got into a big finger-pointing competition in the Army of who actually owns the property. So whoever owns the property is responsible for it type deal. And of course, in regular Army fashion, nobody wants to own it. but I'll push you guys an update once I go back down there next week and with more pictures. Pending questions, that's all I've got for the Army side.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Any other questions for Tim? Hearing none, we can continue with the user console representative updates. I'll start with SOA. Any updates from DOT?
This is Henry Cole. I have one fairly major update, at least from my point of view. The state's budget that we got through has $1.7 million in it for DOT replacing ALMR radio equipment. So at some point, when I have some free time, which in the summer is very rare, but when I have some free time, we'll begin assembling a project. They've also got fiscal years 25 and 26 proposing an additional $1.7 million each. So hopefully we can get our entire inventory fully replaced and upgraded within the next couple of years. But I don't have anything else to add at this time.
Excellent news. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Any questions for DOT? Moving next to DPS. I don't have any updates. I don't know if Lieutenant Andres is online, if there's any updates from you, Ben. Hearing none, all others primary. Moving down to the DOD user updates, we have U.S. Army installations. Any updates?
Sorry about that. I gave my update kind of out of order.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
But thank you very much. So we can move on to Jay Bear or Eielson.
This is Christian Miles and nothing to say.
All right. And moving on to the federal non-DOD components, DOJ, DOI, or all others.
Nothing from TSA. Nothing from TSA. Thank you.
Thank you. And moving to the municipal component, central or north? Or south?
Kyle Green here from... Kyle Green here from North. Just want to say thank you to Master Sergeant Reeder for the update. The municipal's Northern Region 2 folks certainly appreciate the partnership with Army Alaska. And if there's something we can do on the municipal side, please don't hesitate to reach out to myself or Deputy Chief Keith Berrien. We will be looking forward to giving that update to our interior fire chiefs to just let them know what happened on the 16th. But thanks so much.
Anything from Central or Southeast?
Hello, this is Tammy and Soldana. I just wanted to share with the group new technology we're in the process of implementing, real-time video streaming in our center. So I believe we're the first to deploy this in Alaska, although it's been available for the last few years and used across the nation and other states. But it allows our public safety dispatchers to view live streaming from 911 callers, as well as they don't have to be on 911. We just send them a link, and with the caller's consent, they would get a live stream link via text from a dispatcher, enabling them to active live video or upload photos, text the dispatcher. We've used it on a very limited basis in the last few weeks, and primarily for law enforcement calls. And so I'm still wrapping my brain around all these situations that we're going to use it in the future. But it's really blowing my mind in a great way. I'm really excited about this new technology, and I will continue to share any success stories that we have with this group and others of you who have questions or want more information, feel free to reach out to me.
That is excellent news, Tammy. I'm really interested in the policies and procedures that you craft, around this new technology. I'm sure it will help other dispatch centers as they too move to this next-gen philosophy of text, video, and such. So thank you very
Absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
All right. Well, we can move on to the next item, which is new business. I don't have anything listed, but I would like to recognize Bruce Richter. And Bruce, if you could maybe address the group on some of the things that's going on with CISA.
Thank you for that, John, and really would like to thank Sherry and Paul as well for helping get the word out on the ELMR website about a couple of things that have been happening. We had a pretty successful cyber threat awareness webinar targeted towards public safety agencies and particularly 911 centers last week. And Tammy, I'm still trying to track down the slides to share from that. But the essential message was this is a real ongoing threat. Within the last month of May, Dallas, Texas police, San Bernardino County sheriffs in California, and closer to home, Curry County, Oregon, were all hit by the Royal ransomware. And it was devastating for Curry County, Oregon. It spread from their sheriff's department dispatch to the other systems in the county, and they're still trying to recover from that. And so prevention is, and awareness is, the best strategy at the moment. And one of the messages from the webinar was if you get a suspicious email from a sender you don't recognize with a link inside of it, don't click on that link and get rid of the email. So what is this to turn around and do in the same week that we did that ransomware threat awareness webinar? We launched a nationwide effort called the SAFECOM National Survey which is every 5 years we try to get our public safety agency stakeholders to give us feedback and information so we can update the National Emergency Communications Plan and we can update the SAFECOM grant guidance to have it better reflect the challenges you are facing and potentially better target future grant opportunities around the needs that you bring out in that survey. And to launch that survey, we, like in a brilliant inspired move, sent a nationwide email campaign with a link inside to click on and did it right before a 3-day holiday weekend, and it's perhaps not been the best way to do that. So we're regrouping. We want to let people know that SAFECOM National Survey is a real thing. We're trying to get every public safety agency, whether it's fire, EMS, police, law enforcement, emergency management, we would like to get each agency to give us a response to that survey. We don't need 30 firefighters from the same agency to respond. All we're really looking for is one survey response. And so what we've been sending out are unique links for that agency that allows you to, the survey takes about 30 minutes to complete in total. And if you don't have 30 uninterrupted minutes, you can walk away from it, come back to it. And also the software we're using is powerful enough where perhaps I don't know the answer to a question and the person that does know that answer isn't available right now, we can collaborate on it and complete the survey that way. That's the benefit of using the software we're using in this link. So we'll be doing some more outreach. We'll try again to get those unique links to agencies. I think I will again ask Sherry and Paul if maybe I can craft a message to share on the website where people can request that unique link and better know that they're getting a legitimate email. But that is what's going on. And the other thing that I invite everybody in this audience to participate in tomorrow if they have time. It's available by Zoom. The Zoom link info is on the ALMR website. When you look under the RETWIG save the date information, if you click on that, you will see the agenda and the Zoom link to the meeting here in Anchorage. But essentially, once a year, this meeting comes to Alaska. We hold it quarterly in each of the four Region 10 states, and it's a chance to collaborate with all of the people that are involved in the emergency communications arena, whether that's the private sector vendors, whether it's the telecommunications carriers, whether it's government agencies, and share information and try to make sure that the region is better prepared should some big event happen where we all need to collaborate on that response. And I think our RETWIG meetings in the past have been pretty informative, and I just would encourage you to take advantage of that if you have some time tomorrow. It starts at 9 a.m. Alaska time, and it should wrap up by 2 p.m. And again, the agenda is on the ALMR website. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd entertain any questions.
Thank you, Bruce. Are there any questions for Mr. Richter?
And while I happen to have the Western Sector Chief for CISA in the room, Mr. Steve Noel, I'm just going to ask him if he's got any additional info he'd care to share with the group.
Dave, any words of wisdom?
Any words of wisdom? Yes, I'm looking. Yep. I'm bringing my technical assistance sheet for our lunch tomorrow, so you know that. No, I just I did want to mention that I know Paul said he's going to go to APCO, and then Brandon Smith is going to be up here for the RETWIG tomorrow. He's also a member of our team here in Region 10. He'll be participating in a discussion at APCO in regard to the Curry County incident that Bruce talked about. So it's kind of a unique situation because really we sent Brandon and another member down there to help out, and it was like an all hazards incident. If you can envision it, it was like they responded to a hurricane, but there was no mass destruction, but all the comms are out.
And so they really had to work it just like that type of an event. It's kind of eerie. It's looking at being the new normal, if you will. And especially with here in Alaska and across the West, we have a lot of rural counties. And a lot of those counties, they operate with minimal amount of people. And they don't have funding to put in separate IT networks, you know. So it was a very interesting situation. It took them several weeks, and they're still not back online with all their operations that I know of. So we're going to do an after action report on it, and I think that will provide some pretty good info. But please, I'm glad you took advantage of the webinar that Bruce talked about. I think that's a good one. And then can't remember if you mentioned, but we've got new TAs that are coming out with cyber. And we're focused on the 911 centers, but they can be provided anywhere. And I encourage you, if you can, to participate in that. One we did in Oregon, in fact, in a different area than Curry County, was we did an exercise that simulated having a cyber attack in a 911 center. That was a pretty good workshop. And Bruce has an after-action review on that one as well, if you're interested in it. But that's something we can do real time. And I think it's worthy to kind of move out on that. But that's all I have, John. I appreciate it. And I was also glad to hear that, you know, there's some positive FirstNet stuff going on in the state. So that's pretty cool. I'm seeing that in a lot of places. But the biggest thing I've personally seen with FirstNet is they're bringing, because they're getting involved, they're bringing the other folks with them. Verizon and T-Mobile are becoming more actively engaged with public safety. So I think that's a win for everybody. You know, competition is really driving that. So thank you. Well, thanks for allowing me to sit in with your meeting here today.
And Mr. Chair, if I could just offer two more comments on the Curry County, just so people can maybe understand the total impact of it. It's not just a dispatch center that was hit. For instance, their server that had their property and evidence records on it is unusable to them at the moment and may not be recoverable. So you can imagine losing your chain of custody on all your criminal cases in prosecution. And then the county records and deeds looks like at the moment they are not able to recover the land records going back to the start of the formation of the county. So just... And Tammy, you had mentioned that your center is looking at opening up video streaming and another link for the public to get information to your dispatch center. Just be thinking about, number one, somebody's got to store that video or retain it for your chain of custody purposes. So I'm not sure what your solution is for that, but that's something else that needs to be protected. And then that new vector of allowing the public another means of access into your center is also a threat to consider. So it's a two-edged tool. It's really great to see these wonderful new solutions out there, but at the same time, the volume of digital evidence and digital information that needs to be protected is bigger. And I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, thank you very much, Bruce, for that.
I'm sorry, Steve, John. One more that got me thinking about that in Curry County. Their IT was actually outsourced to an electric utility type company. And so that was kind of scary. And that's when the FBI rushed down there as soon as they knew that, because they were concerned that maybe this virus was going to get into the grid down there, you know. So it was kind of fascinating. And that same week, I happened to be in Denver earlier that week, and they had one of their main 911 centers got shut down with the same virus, and then in Dallas as well. So it's just not the small centers, but the larger centers are, you know, better equipped to deal with it because they segment their networks and have some backup capability. But the one in Denver, we didn't get too involved. They didn't want anybody from the outside coming in. So I wanted to keep that kind of close hold, I guess. But it was interesting. It was a big one there by the airport. So, yeah, everything's happened all at once here.
And anyhow, but thanks, John. Appreciate
the time. Thank you, Steve, for the update, and you too, Bruce. Any other new business at this time?
This is Henry Cole with DOT. This isn't so much new business, but more of it is more as it is a question, and probably for Tammy. A friend of mine in Bethel reached out to me actually last night, wanting to know. He found my name on the ALMR User Council's Twitter feed. So whoever's putting that up and running that, that's how he got in touch with me. Anyway, there's some interest in at least in Bethel and possibly some of their outlying villages in getting some form of ALMR hub there. And I told him I wasn't the person to ask about that, but I would certainly put him in touch with put them in touch with whoever. And so not sure which sector they ought to reach out to first, but wanted to bring that up.
Mr. Cole, I do know that there's a grant that has been, I believe it's in the stage of being approved for a 90-foot tower for the Bethel Police Department. I wonder if that is what you're asked about.
I think the question was if the Bethel Fire Department, VPSOs, and VPSOs in, I'm not even going to try and pronounce the names, but two or three outlying villages would be able to get involved and who they ought to talk to. And so maybe it's related to that grant for that tower. I'm not sure.
That's the only thing I'm aware of at this time. Mr. Stormo, are you aware of anything else going on in that region?
No, but if they're asking, is there a way to expand ALMR services out to those areas? Is that what they were wanting to know?
I'm not exactly sure what the question was. I mean, it was presented to me as, hey, how can we get on that radio network, basically? And so I told them I would follow up and try and find some maybe more well-informed people they could talk to.
Scott, would you take that as a contact point for them?
Yeah. Henry, did you already send me an email on this?
No, but I will here in a moment.
Okay. And I'm leaving tomorrow, but I'll get it to Patrick or somebody else to be thinking about. And then we can reach out to them and find out what it is that they're trying to do.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
No, thank you, sir. So some other additional information. I'm going to be sending out some emails to most of this group for a save the date for July 18th over at the Alaska Crime Lab. We're going to have two separate FirstNet meetings. One's going to be the future of FirstNet in Alaska. So we're going to be talking about the next five-year plan. And then in the afternoon, we're going to be having an update on some of the newer equipment. We're going to be bringing out the compact rapid device. We're going to be bringing out a cow to actually, you know, show what FirstNet has available to the different communities, and then talk about how they can request those devices. And again, that's July 18th. I'm just now firming up the agenda items for those two meetings. And again, it's going to be over at the State Crime Lab off of Martin Luther King. Is there any other new business or additional information items or questions for the group?
John, this is David Reed. As we've been informed about the previous issues at other 911 centers, I just want to let our customers know that if they have any specific questions as to threats that ALMR may come under or any other security type questions, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me through the ALMR help desk, and I'll do what I can to help alleviate those problems for you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reed. I appreciate the info. Anything else? So the two items before I ask for request to adjourn. Number one, the next meetings are currently scheduled for July 5th and August 2nd. Before we lock in that date, Mr. Green might have a question. Kyle?
Thank you, sir. Kyle Green here in Northern Region. I wanted to see the group's interest in postponing July 5th meeting to July 12th, given that's the holiday week, by making a motion to do so.
I hear a motion on the table, and I will second that motion. Any discussion as far as moving the date to the following week?
This is Kyle Green here. I offer that is the day right after July 4th holiday. The weather will be nice, and the salmon are running. So unless it conflicts with the user council, I hope that we could maybe move it a week to give us a little bit more flexibility to have some much well-deserved time off for all of you that have full plates.
This is Henry Cole. I'll offer that if it's on the 5th, I won't be here. If it's on the 12th, I will be. So I'm in favor.
Terry, is there any formal notice that we have to go through to move that date from July 5th to July 12th?
No, just have to do a calendar update.
Yes, ma'am. Let's move that date. Thank you, Kyle, for bringing that up. Also, the other item is there's going to be a presentation by BK Technologies right after we move to adjourn and turn off the recording. And then, Paul, I'll let you introduce that team. But before you do, I would entertain a move to adjourn.
Why not? Kyle Green here, Northern Region. Oh, yep. Kyle Green here. So moved or second, whichever one.
And did I hear someone else?
Hi, Chris Martin. I'm awesome. I'll second it.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. We're adjourned. And Sherry, you can turn off the recording. And then, Paul, I turn the meeting over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, everyone, as we well know, even though we've still got a snow and